is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. heard right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a biblical answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas, and I'm here with my good friend and partner on this program, Tom Moore from the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Both of us are gospel preachers, and I think that's important to introduce this program that we have today. We are broadcasting from Studio 4 at Hillcrest here in Stephenville, and we want to mention a few of the networks that we're being carried on right now. KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, Texas. KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, Texas. And also we are on the gospelradionetwork.org. And to get there, just go to the Harrison Moore, harrisandmoore.org, excuse me. And you'll get there, read the instructions, you click it on, and click on the microphone there, you'll go straight to the gospel program tonight, or the message tonight. Now, the
I'm
gospel.
Not dead yet.
We're also being played at the gospelplaylist.org in Oklahoma. And we want to welcome you to the radio program tonight. I promise you it'll be better than the introduction. You have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. That's been our motto all along. You can go and remember that this is a live call-in talk show. There's a lot of ways to enter into the discussion. There are also pre-recorded shows that you can find on the web, on the website there. But we would really, really love for you to call in and give us your comments or your questions, especially about what we're going to talk about tonight. The number to call, if you would like to get in on the program, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's questions, answers, and spell out B-I-B-L-E, 855-QA-BIBLE. You can also mail us at questions at harrisandmoore.org, questions plural at harrisandmoore.org. That will go to my web, my email, and it will also go to Tom's email. If you decide to go to the internet, you can get on the chat room there. And if you go to the chat room, you can give us your questions, your comments there on the chat room. However, we would prefer you to pick up the phone and call us, 855-QA-BIBLE. Now, we have some sponsors for this program. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, also the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. In Santo, we have the Santo Church of Christ, which is also one of our sponsors. And then we have the Windmill Church of Christ out of Weatherford, Texas. And we want to thank all of our sponsors. Today, we want to welcome you to our program. We've got something I think that will be very interesting to everybody involved. We are going to be looking at another gospel. This is a very important thing for us to understand, that there is such a thing out there as another gospel. But as Paul the Apostle tells us, it's not another gospel. It seems like it's another gospel. It preaches like another gospel. It sounds like another gospel, but it is not another gospel. And the reason that we know that is because the Holy Spirit through Paul through in the book of Galatians tells us that. And for those of you who can, we would encourage you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. And Tom is going to begin reading there for us in verse number 6 about this other gospel, which is not another gospel. And so, Tom, if you will read that, beginning there in verse 6, we'll make some comments on this passage, and then we will go from there.
I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, and I'm going to read this text in the English Standard Version. Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and would distort the gospel of Christ. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you have received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." You know, David, Paul makes it very clear that there is only one gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the gospel that has been revealed to him through Jesus Christ. And so, in the initial thinking about this, that makes it the gospel of Jesus, doesn't it?
Right, it does. And you might notice there, he says at the very beginning of that passage that you read, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ," mm-hmm, "unto another gospel." And what he uses interchangeably there is the grace of Christ and the word gospel. You're so soon removed. How in the world did that happen? What caused that to happen? And why does it happen?
And you know, and he mentions there, "and so quickly" or "so soon."
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can get off an error so quickly. You know, and it talks about when we leave the one gospel for another so-called gospel,
mm-hmm,
in reality, we're deserting the Christ.
Right.
And that's serious business. You know, we look around today, David, and there are a lot of people who claim to be preaching different gospels in the name of Jesus.
Right.
You know, even though they may mention Jesus, but if they're preaching a gospel that's not what Paul preached, then it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And you might notice also, he says, "but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Even an angel from heaven does not have the authority by Jesus Christ to preach another gospel. Not even an angel from heaven, not man, but an angel from heaven doesn't have it.
How many people, David, are there in the world today who are claiming that some angel or some spirit spoke to them, and now they're saying things different from what the gospel of Jesus says?
No doubt. And right here, to see how important and how very dangerous it is to deviate from the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which has been recorded in our Bibles and has been preserved for our learning. An angel from heaven cannot even preach a different gospel, not with the authority of Jesus Christ can he do so.
You know, and those who do that, he says they are accursed.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, let them be delivered to destruction. That's how serious this is, David. You know, and people seem to flippantly involve themselves in all kinds of, if you will, in quotation marks, different kinds of gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time when My brother was telling me a story that he was in Jamaica, and he was pulled over by some policemen there, and they were carrying machine guns, you know, and they pulled him over, and John was a little bit scared about what was happening there, and they said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, we're preachers of the gospel." That man says, "Well, what kind of gospel do you preach?"
Whoa.
See, what they were envisioning was all this religious group preaches it this way, and they preach it that way, and they preach it this way. And John says jokingly, "I was so scared, I said, well, what kind do you want me to preach?" Well, you know, there are a lot of people who have that type of mentality.
Sure.
But there is one gospel, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And we're going to see here, we're going to put some scriptures here to be used as the foundational teaching of our lesson. Because after all, you've heard what men have had to say. Now let's listen to what the Bible has to say. And Tom, right now, we are entering into a special time of religion, according to a lot of men of the world. And what men call Easter is coming up next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And since before the New Testament was written, men have been trying to change the gospel that Jesus gave us. They have altered it. They have tried to erase it. They have tried to destroy it. But Jesus tells us plainly in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away."
Exactly. You know, the Bible teaches us about this glorious gospel, doesn't it, David?
Absolutely.
You know, we think about passages like Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. It refers to the gospel as the gospel of Jesus. Now, if it's the gospel of Jesus, to whom does it belong?
It belongs to Jesus the Christ.
And so who has the right to change something that belongs to Jesus?
No one.
And yet, what do we see in our world today? Change after change after change. In just a moment, David, we're going to introduce one of those changes that's taking place in our local area.
One that will no doubt open the eyes of the listening public here. Tom, the word gospel is used in the New Testament 104 times. Now, if it were only used once in the entire New Testament, that would make it a very, very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is used 104 times in the New Testament. And there is an emphasis placed upon this word gospel and what it means. Now, we know that the word gospel is not exclusive to the New Testament, but we also know as we read through the gospel, as we read through the New Testament, we're going to find that the way the gospel is used, it is most definitely exclusively used in terms of the New Testament and the authority by which it's used.
Exactly. When you look up the Greek word for gospel, it could literally be translated good news or good tidings. Remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about another gospel. There are a lot of people who are claiming a different gospel, that they're preaching a gospel that's not found in the New Testament. And we just looked at a passage a moment ago in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, that says, "If anyone preach any other gospel than that which Paul preached by inspiration, he is accursed." Now, as David mentioned, the word gospel is mentioned 104 times in the Bible in about 98 verses. And this word means good news, good tidings. Well, David, let me ask you this question. Why is it the fact that we need good news?
Well, without the good news, we would have no way of being saved.
And so we're lost in sin, and so it would be good news if we're told how to remedy that situation, right?
No doubt. No
doubt.
Now,
if you wanted a remedy, let's just say, David, you're taking some medicine for your illness that you have. Do you want my remedy, or do you want a trained physician's remedy?
I would take the trained physician's remedy in a heartbeat.
So when we think about the gospel, are we going to take Jesus's remedy, or are we going to be taking the remedy of the denominational world, or what some man says?
Well, let's put it even more personal than that. You are one of my best friends, and I love you, Tom, but I don't want your remedy for my salvation.
Exactly right. You know, but that's what people do. They begin to trust in one another instead of putting their trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times people will innocently give you remedies for various things, and maybe grandma used it. Maybe
right.
They think it works, but that's not the remedy of the great physician. We need to be looking at this good news that good news that the Lord sets forth for us, because he is the only one that has the news that's going to help us to get to heaven.
Well, you know, we live in this world, and we visit with the people of this world, and we pick up things that other people say and other people believe, and we stick them in the back of our heads, and before you know it, those things become part of our think process, our thinking process. And so what we have as a motto here is we want to try to put this thing in perspective. You've heard what men have had to say. Why don't you put that aside for just a little while, and let's just hear what the Bible has to say about this glorious gospel. For I fear that this is one of the words that is adulterated by the world, mm-hmm. This word gospel. Let's just find out what the Word of God has to say about this gospel. And we can start right there with Mark chapter 1 and verse 1 that starts the entire gospel, according to Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, that immediately tells us the gospel belongs to Christ.
Exactly. And that's significant. It does not belong to man. It belongs to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we read a moment ago there when Paul was talking about this gospel that he preached. He said, mm-hmm. I did not receive it from man, but he received it from who? Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And so there we see another reference to God and it belonging to God, and therefore does not belong to man. And man has no right to change that which does not belong to him.
Well, you see, he says separated from this world and worldly wisdom to the gospel of God.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's sanctified by the gospel of God. He's set apart. He's separated from the rest of the world by the gospel of God. What a tremendous a passage that is to teach us the importance of this gospel and who it belongs to. And so we have to be very, very careful how we use these things. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 25, we read this. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. You see there, the interchanging of the word of the Lord, the interchanging of that with the preaching of the gospel, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
The gospel is the word of our Lord.
You know, Denny mentions on the chat room, and it's pretty interesting. He says, or like one of my coworkers told me Friday, there are over 40,000 religions in the world today. And another said something to the effect that you have to find what works for you. They don't understand the Bible and its authority, and what they do read, they misinterpret. We pulled up the Bible, and I showed them a few things, but you could tell it was way over their heads, I was being very simple. You know, and that is really the mentality today. Whatever works for you,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, what's that mean? Whatever you want to do.
Or whatever you like.
Let's make it my gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the whole point here. The gospel, the good news, does not belong to you. You did not originate it. You have no authority to originate it. It comes from God. And as you mentioned there in Acts, the Word of God, the gospel, are used interchangeably. So if we want the good news, we're going to have to go to the New Testament to find out what that is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, we find another passage in Revelation chapter 14. Do you have that one, Frank? Frank is our board man. I failed to mention just a moment ago in the introduction. I was stumbling all over my tongue. But Frank Briscoe is our board man here, and we're going to have a hard time running this thing without him. We really appreciate Frank being with us. And Frank is full of wisdom. We always like to hear his comments and his way of thinking on these things. He's no different than we are. He speaks where the Bible speaks, and he is silent where the Bible is silent. And right now he's going to tell us what the Word of the Lord has to say in Revelation 14 and verse number 6. He talks here about the eternal gospel. Frank, why don't you read that to us and then make a comment or two about how that is working into this lesson that we're talking about today.
Right here in the passage here in Revelation, it is concerning a heavenly proclamation. And reading beginning of verse 6 of the 14th chapter, "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having the eternal gospel, the eternal good news, to proclaim unto them that dwell on the earth, unto every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And they said with a great voice, Fear God, give him the glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of the water." The Spirit was revealing to John, giving to us a message here of the eternal nature of the gospel that God had given unto us, the good news, as it can be translated there, of the message of salvation, mm-hmm. that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The good news is that we don't have to stay lost, that we have now the opportunity of coming unto God and being God's child.
And it is the eternal gospel. It does not change.
Exactly right.
Does not change. Tom, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, we have another terminology that is used interchangeably with the gospel. And as a matter of fact, it gives us a description more of the gospel as maybe any other passage in the Bible.
You know, and David, this is very significant for our understanding of the gospel, mm-hmm. and also of grace.
Right.
You'll notice there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus." Now, what he's about to say, he received from Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
And so here we have this good news. He gets it not from his own beliefs, but it was given to him by Jesus, and it is the gospel of the grace of God. Now, David, there are so many people that misuse and abuse the word grace. Now, we were talking among ourselves earlier that that's perhaps the most abused concept, the most abused word in all the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But here, grace is associated with the gospel, the good news.
Right. And that's a very good point to point out. There's also another interchangeable verse here, or interchangeable word with the gospel. It is the faith. And Jude uses it in verse number 3 and 4. When he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And then he says, "For certain men are crept in unawares, who were before of old condemned unto, or ordained unto this condemnation. Ungodly men." Now watch this. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, what did you say that Romans or Acts chapter 20 and verse 24 told us just a moment ago?
That the grace of God associated with the word, the gospel.
The gospel. And these men have crept in unawares, ungodly men who are changing the grace of God into lasciviousness. And while they're at it, they are denying our God and our only God, our only Lord, Jesus Christ. That's in Jude verses 3 and 4.
You know, when we think about this word lasciviousness, you know, we don't use that word a whole lot, do we?
No.
But it has to do with sensuality and things of that. It's worldliness, right?
Yes.
In essence, you know. And so people have exchanged worldliness for the gospel, for the grace of God. And they have, how many times if we think about people, how they have cheapened grace by saying, well, there's really nothing you need to do. Grace covers all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a big problem in our world today. And I think you're going to see that in this gospel that we're going to talk about in a moment that the world has come up with.
No doubt about
cheapened
it.
Cheapened grace.
No doubt about it. Well, the number to call, and we do want you to call in and make a comment with us. We're going to get into something here that you won't be able to keep your hands off the phone in just a moment. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, and we will give you a Bible answer for your question, and we will give you a Bible answer for your comments. But what we need to understand so far throughout this program, we're about halfway through it right now, by these verses that we mentioned at the beginning of this lesson here, just got through mentioning them. There are many other more that we could go to, but we can easily understand that the gospel belongs to God. The gospel belongs to Christ. Now, Tom, we mentioned this because every year about this time, about Easter time, about a week before Easter Sunday, as men would like to call it, we have religious organizations all over the world making a mockery of God's gospel.
Exactly right. You know, Dave, when we think about this making a mockery of God's gospel, you know, it has happened very close to home, hadn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Timber Ridge Church and Pastor Nick, right here in Stephenville, Texas, will have an Easter service entitled The Gospel According to Cash.
Now, repeat that again, would you please, just so people did not misunderstand that.
The Gospel According to Cash, and he has reference to Johnny Cash. Now, you have what they've mailed out, David, I guess, over the whole city of Stephenville.
Yes.
And this is what they're planning to do on Easter Sunday. They're going to have a service based on the Gospel According to Johnny Cash. Now, what's this all about, David?
Well, I'm not real sure just exactly why this is coming out right about this time. I have a pretty good idea. I can't do the thinking for old Pastor Nick over there. But it seems like Easter is the one religious holiday that nobody wants to miss out on. I don't know where they get their information, but a lot of people seem to think if they put on their Easter bonnet and their best Easter dress and Easter shoes and their Easter clothes, then they can come one time a year, and that's the biggie.
You know, I've known several people over the years, David, who come twice a year.
Yeah.
You know, the first Sunday around Christmas and also Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And they think that they have fulfilled their quota of religion for the year.
Right. Now, if we have a chance at the end of this lesson here, and I don't think we will, but if we do, I want us to get into this Easter situation and let everybody know what the Bible has to say about it instead of what men have made it to be. Mm-hmm. But now this is a... this is kind of a shocker for nearly anybody that would think about it. The Timber Ridge Church are having a service entitled The Gospel According to Cash. Now, they've sent out a real a nice little advertisement here trying to entice people to come. And according to this advertisement, this is going to be their theme. And I'm going to quote it right off of the package here. It says, The Gospel According to Cash uses the iconic life and lyrics of Johnny Cash as a lens to explore the power, grace, toughness, and truth of the gospel. Join us as we discover how the timeless truth of God's Word can be seen through the lens of one of America's music icons.
You know, David, the world will stop at nothing to try to fill the pews. You know, this is all this is, David. It is trying to use something different. What would you say? A different what?
Gospel.
Gospel.
Which is not a different.
Which is not another gospel. Though some may call it such, it is not a gospel. It is not good news. You know, I don't care, you know, how much you like Johnny Cash or his music. Johnny Cash, his words, his music are not good news of salvation.
No, not at all. And you know, we were talking about this earlier. There are some people that give more credence to the words of a country western song than they do to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They'll be driving down the road and they'll hear some country music star say something there, and they'll turn to the person that's in the car with them and say, "Oh, wasn't that so real, and wasn't that so true to life, and how it applies to me?" Well, God's word is nothing more than life.
Exactly.
They are life. Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit, and they are life." John chapter 6 and verse 63. You want to live? You want to experience life? You want to experience godliness? Go to the Bible and get His words. You don't have to have a country western singer to tell you how to live life, or especially according to Pastor Nick here, especially tell us how the truth of God's word can be seen through the lens of an American icon.
You know, we think about Johnny Cash for a moment. You know, we all agree before he met June Carter, he was one wicked man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even after he married June Carter, and I was looking through the internet a while ago at some of the titles of his songs, Cocaine Blues and various things like that, and let me even ask you this question, David. How many men or women can really live the lifestyle of Nashville and come out unscathed by the world?
I'm not saying that it is impossible, but I do know a passage of Scripture that will answer that question for you. You've heard what men have had to say about it. And most men will say, "Well, I'm different. My faith is solid as a rock." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53, he prefaces the verse by saying, "Be not deceived."
33. I think you said 53, but 33.
33. Okay. Yeah. 15:33. "Be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals." But God, I'm different.
Yeah.
I have faith like you wouldn't believe. I am different. It won't affect me. He says, "Be not deceived." Exactly. The answer to your question is you can't. You just can't do it.
Now, when we look at this situation, David, and remember the number to call tonight if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also get involved in the chat room by going to the Gospel Radio Network. You can sign in with your name, or some fellow here just put in a few numbers and he was able to chime in. And so you can also get involved in a discussion that way. Now, also, David and I have an email address that goes to both of our email addresses. The email address is questions, that's plural, questions, at harrisonmoore.org. And so if perhaps after the program tonight something came to your mind, feel free to email us, and we will always answer your question with a "Thus saith the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
Well, David, when we think about the gospel according to Cash, what saith the Lord? You know, earlier to David, today, I put out some feelers on people about this very issue, and I said, "What do you think? Is it scriptural or no?" And one fella that I've known for a long time back in Dripping Springs, Texas, he says, "Well, Johnny Cash, is not mentioned in the Bible, so it must not be scriptural.
Amen.
So, you know, we could go a different route with that. If something's not mentioned in the Bible, we pretty much ought to do what?
Stay away from it.
Exactly right.
Stay away from it.
So when we think about this idea here, then, of the gospel according to Cash, what were some of the things, David, that they were saying that they were going to use as an example of this gospel of Cash?
Well, he says they were going to use the iconic life.
Iconic life.
Iconic life. Now, he's an icon, don't you know? He's an icon. He is a hero to the world.
So we're talking in a religious service, we're looking at an icon.
Yes.
And the icon they decide that they want to focus on is a country western singer. I don't get it.
Well, he's going to try to explain it to us. I want to use this in quotes again. I don't want to put words in Pastor Nick's mouth or in his pen. By the way, I saw you stole my pen a while ago.
Hey, you want it back?
Yes, I do. No, I got mine over here. A quote, he says, he uses the iconic life and lyrics of Johnny Cash as a lens to explore the power, the grace, the toughness, and the truth of the gospel. And so let's just break that down just a minute, just for a little bit. And first of all, we might want to note that the power of the gospel that Pastor Nick is talking about, that Johnny Cash is going to tell us about here, this power of the gospel belongs to God and not to Johnny Cash. What does Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 17 say?
Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You know, when I read that, I always say, why, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
"For it is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," where? "In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith."
And that faith is in whom?
In the gospel of Christ.
Right.
Now, that's where we find out where the righteousness of God is. You know, we can't find how God is righteous by looking at the life of a man. It's by looking at the gospel. You know, the gospel of Jesus, because it is the good news about Jesus and about what God has done for us.
Right. Well, when we look at this power of the gospel, and when we understand that it belongs to God and not man, and certainly not Johnny Cash, we also need to be reminded of what the Holy Spirit through Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And here he tells us what the gospel is. He says here in verse 1 of chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand." Stand in what? Standing in the gospel. And then he says, "That which you have also received, and wherein you stand," standing in the gospel, "by which also you are saved, if," and here's the condition, "if you keep in memory what I preached unto you." What did he preach unto them? The gospel. "Unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." So this is nothing that Paul came up with himself. It was something that he received from Christ. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Two times in a row there he tells us according to the scriptures. Now, Frank, when he tells us that we have been saved by the gospel and it's according to the scriptures, what he is doing is he's telling us about the importance of this gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is all according to the scriptures. Now, this is the first note that we might make. It's the power of the gospel, and it belongs to the God to God our Father and not to any man, and especially not Johnny Cash. And so we run into the second of these points that we're making here. Remember, he says they use the iconic life and the lyrics of Johnny Cash as a lens to explore the power, and then a lens to explore the grace. Now, Tom, you mentioned just a moment ago that grace, and we talked about this quite a bit before the program, that grace is one of the most adulterated words used in the Bible and misused by denominational religion today in such a way that you can't even, it is distorted in such a way that you can't even know what the grace of God means anymore.
You know, people today seem to have the mentality that grace is just some kind of supernatural aura that comes over a person, and that there's nothing required of you, that it's a free gift, and it can be translated as a gift, but even when you receive a gift at Christmas time, there's still the opening of the package. There's still the receiving of the gift, and so there's something that has to be done on our part. When we think about this grace and favor, the Word of God is most definitely associated with this. For example, in James chapter 1, in verse 21, it says, "Wherefore lay apart all."
We got a phone call.
All right, we got a phone call coming in. This is the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and a question or comment, please.
Hello. Hello, is anybody there? Did we lose him, Frank?
The light's on, but they're not talking.
Well, maybe you'll call back in just a moment. Perhaps your phone is not working correctly. Call us back. We would love to hear your comment or your question, please.
We're going to read James chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and overflowing of naughtiness or wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." David, what is associated with grace? What is associated with salvation? What is associated with the good news?
It is the gospel, the Word of God.
And so how does a country western entertainer lead us in any way towards salvation?
The only way that a man in that business or in any business could lead another one to salvation is if he took the Word of God and replaced all of his words with the Word of God. Then he would have an opportunity to teach one about salvation. But not until then. When a person has his own opinions and his own thoughts and his own ways of doing things, he cannot in no way, form, or fashion lead anybody to salvation, because he will not have the good news that will do it.
Now, let me mention to our callers that I contacted our guru on our phone line. He says that there's a busy signal on the phone line. He can't figure out why, but he's looking into the subject right now.
Okay, so we got our man in Mount Vernon working on this right now,
exactly,
as we
right.
speak. But don't give up calling. Keep dialing. We'll get something fixed here one of these minutes soon before this program is over. So then we've got the gospel according to Johnny Cash and Pastor Nick and the Timber Ridge Church here in Stephenville, Texas, and they're going to use the life and the lyrics of Johnny Cash to explore the power, the grace. We got a phone call. Caller, would you give us your first name and your question and your comment, please? Nobody coming in.
So we'll have to bypass that again. Sorry, folks, for the problem on that, but we still got our guy looking and trying to see what's going on here. Now, we think about it, David, this idea of Johnny Cash and him being, you know, I just can't get over, Dave. We're going to services to give glory and honor to God.
Praise and honor.
To use a country western singer as an icon, one we look up to, in worship service. Really? You look at Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after you believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The gospel is associated with the word of truth, not Johnny Cash.
Right.
The phone should work.
Okay, the phone should work now.
What happened?
Got turned off.
Well, if that gets turned off, that always makes a difference, doesn't it? So try to call in again. Frank says he thinks he found out what the problem was.
Okay,
somebody's been fiddling with the stuff.
Okay.
We got a caller. Caller, give us your first name, your comment, and your question, please. Caller? Frank, you told me you had that fixed.
Thought it did.
We are having trouble with our phone system tonight, and we do apologize for that. We love you to call in, and we got a brand new system here. Everything is supposed to be working.
It's worked in the days past. I don't know what's happened between now and then, but that's what happened with technology.
I'm telling you. It's,
so if you wanted to call in, you had some.
Huh? Try again, see if there's somebody there.
Hello, are you on the line? Okay. Well, tonight, I'm sorry, but if you're trying to call in, it might be better for you to chime in on the chat room if you've got some significant question or comment tonight, and we'll try to get this fixed for next week.
Okay. Now we just have a few minutes left in this show tonight, and we may have to pick it up next week again, but when we're talking about the toughness. Now, remember, he says they're going to use the iconic life and lyrics of Johnny Cash to explore the toughness through the truth of the gospel. And when we're talking about the toughness of Johnny Cash, Tom, that does no way compare with the physical and spiritual toughness of Paul the Apostle that we can read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Exactly.
What a tremendous example of physical and spiritual toughness, a man that will never give up for the cause of Christ.
You know, we think about, it's Easter Sunday, right?
Easter Sunday.
And you're probably going to have the biggest crowd of the whole year there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all these people coming in, and you want to talk about the toughness of Johnny Cash. Well, let's look at the toughness of the Apostle Paul, a biblical character.
Absolutely.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in depths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils of the city. In perils of the wilderness. And you're going to try to do it again.
Call it again.
Are you got a caller on the line? Well, we might as well not do it rest of the night. Is that going to work?
Coming in.
In verse 26, again, it says, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
And you talk about a man that has been through as much punishment as you could possibly come into. We're talking about Paul the Apostle here, who has been beaten and left for dead, who has been hungry. I doubt seriously that Johnny Cash ever went hungry. Mm-hmm. I don't know that for sure. He might have been hungry a time or two between meals, but we're talking about a man that was hungry nearly to death. And then he would say later on in the letter to the Philippians, I can do all things, no matter what state I find myself in, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, what we find there is toughness in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense. So my question to you, Tom, is why in the world do you want to use Johnny Cash as an example to follow instead of all of the examples that are given to us in the Bible, and especially the one of Paul that we just read about? But then let's think about the life and the times of Jesus Christ in the flesh here on this earth. What's wrong with his example?
Well, you know, what better way to get a hold of the big audience that you have on that day? You know, and, you know, Jesus, his life, his words are what counts. It's not what Johnny Cash says.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what, you know, there was not too long ago, David, where they were trying to have the gospel according to Adney Griffin and stuff like that, mm-hmm. You know. What about the gospel of Jesus? Well, you know, in John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know, it's not going to be the words of Johnny Cash. It's not going to be any song he ever wrote. It's not going to be any kind of life-changing experience he ever had. It's going to be the life of Christ that makes changes. And my friends in the audience, that's what we need to be focusing on. You know, to maybe mention in passing some person that maybe have a good example of something, but to associate your whole service around a man is just flat out wrong.
No, there is nothing right about that. It, also, you might notice in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, speaking of this Christ, he says, who by him do believe in God and raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And we read in verse 21 of chapter 2, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. When he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously.
Mm-hmm.
He had no worldly traits about him. He never failed in his duty, in his praise, and his glory to God. Never one time did he fail in that. And it says that we should follow his steps. He is the great example. As you mentioned just a moment ago, we might have in passing some people that we would like to mention as examples to follow. And indeed, there are some men that are examples to follow. But when you take a worship service, and you forget that God is the object of our devotion,
mm-hmm.
which obviously they have forgotten in this Timber Ridge Church here in Stephenville, Texas, headed out by Pastor Nick. Obviously they have forgotten that God is the object of our worship, because this next Sunday, Easter Sunday, it's going to be Johnny Cash
mm-hmm.
as the object of adoration.
You know, the Bible says about God and his word that God's word is to be reverend. You know, in Psalm 111, verse 9, it says, holy and reverend is his name.
Amen.
That's whom we are to focus on, the Almighty God. And again, as we mentioned, there's nothing necessarily wrong with mentioning somebody perhaps in passing or as a example, but to focus on a country western star, let's not focus on anything else other than what the Bible has to say about God and religion.
Well, and in the 89th Psalm in verse 7, we're told there, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Exactly.
I can't imagine.
And you know, Pastor Nick and his ideas are nothing new, right, David?
No, not at all.
It's obvious that he is trying to put seats in his pews instead of what the gospel preacher is supposed to do, and that is put the gospel of Christ into the hearts and to the souls of mankind, striving to get them to heaven. You know, it's not numbers. It's not entertainment. The gospel is about the good news of Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven. And yet so many people have missed the boat on that.
Well, we have a comment here on the chat box from Bill. It says, unfortunately, more people are acquainted with the songs and the lyrics of Johnny Cash than they are of what the Bible has to say. And he is so true, so right about that.
Exactly.
And, you know, they can sing the songs, they can quote the verses, they can do everything, but when it comes to the Bible, they say, well, I just can't memorize that stuff. That's just too difficult for me. But they know every single word of every single song. Thank you, Bill and Denny, for those great comments that you've been making here. You know, this kind of exhibition of worldliness that we've been talking about here, it should be a shocker to everybody. But unfortunately, it happens so often in the denominational world that it's not a shocker anymore. And believe it or not, things like this, as abhorrent as they are, they're going to take place all over this world this coming Sunday. Because, after all, this is one of the biggies. This is one of the times when you dress up to go to church.
And, you know, we might also mention, David, I don't think we've mentioned it, but on that brochure, there's more than just Johnny Cash taken on that day, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Here we have the 30,000 eggs in an Easter egg hunt, face painting, door prizes, and pictures with the Easter bunny. Now, that's just a few of the wonderful...
Now, that really sounds like a worship service, doesn't it?
That is an attractant, that is a lure that would cause a lot of crappie to bite the hook right there.
You know, that is nothing but entertainment. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has nothing to do with salvation. It's only to bring people into the pews. And I'm afraid, you know, I don't know what this man's thinking in his heart, but this is a money-making scheme.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get as many people as he is that can to get in there, have a big crowd, make some money. Now, Pastor Nick, if you hear this and you don't agree with it, we challenge you to call us and let's talk about this issue.
Let us get our phones fixed first.
Yeah, you call us next week, and we'll be sure to answer this. And also, you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org.
Tom, in the last minute that we have left here, would you please read again Galatians chapter 6, especially Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6, and then verses 11 and 12. We got 30 seconds.
I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. That's verse 6. Verse 11. But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And that ought to hit home with all of us tonight. We want to thank you for your participation in this program. We thank you for listening. We thank you for getting on the chat box. And we thank all of those callers that were calling in that we couldn't answer. We promise we will have all of this fixed by next week. Bless you as you read your Bibles and you search for the truth of God's Word. I'll give you the last word.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station.